It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Here we go.
And the punt is blocked. It's free.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Tuesday edition of Overtime. Opportunity to score some NSIC tournament tickets. We got two games left, two teams left on the men's side, on the women's side, and they settle it all tonight with Title Tuesday at the Pentagon. I got six total tickets left. You can grab your pair later on in the show. Your schedule on the women's side, a 4 o'clock go time. It's top-seeded Mankato against second-seeded CSP. Worth noting, the Golden Bears were the only team in the NSIC to beat Mankato this year. Heck of a matchup. On store tonight, 4 o'clock afternoon start. On the women's side and the men, it's top-seeded St. Cloud. They're really darn good, battling upstart Duluth. Pair of upsets. They've authored seed upsets thus far in the tournament. Duluth, the sixth seed, meeting top-seeded St. Cloud on the men's side at 7 o'clock. One ticket gets you into both games, and I have a total of six left, so three lucky callers will be able to capitalize and head out to the Pentagon coming up tonight for the conclusion of the NSIC tournament. Thor Nystrom of Score North will join us here in about 20 minutes talking about J.J. McCarthy, the Minnesota Vikings, the draft day targets at round number one, round number two, and beyond for Minnesota, and the state of the roster. What are the real needs for the Minnesota Vikings and his draft crushes as established boots on the ground last weekend in Indianapolis at the Combine? Thor Nystrom will join us to recap that trip and talk about the names he is crushing on post-combine as we navigate our way towards the NFL draft at the end of next month. We wrap up today's show with your rankings roundup, where Lincoln boys and Brandon Valley girls top the final South Dakota prep poll of the season. And we also deliver the good, the bad, and the ugly, a segment that you can't afford to miss every single day on the program. Let's dive into the NBA chatter here as we lead off the scorecard there this time of year. The Boston Celtics earned a big win, 108-81 last night in Milwaukee. Everyone wants to talk about the return of Jason Tatum. If it happens, Kendrick Perkins says this team pretty darn dangerous.
I still got the Pistons by a little bit over the Celtics, but Jason Tatum come back, that's going to convince me to put the Celtics up top. The Celtics have the most championship experience out of any team in the Eastern Conference. They have the best two-way player in the game who I believe should be the MVP. He damn sure is going to get my vote. And when you think about what they have, their culture, the coaching, the system, with the move that they made at the trade deadline, going to get Vucevic, and they have a dynamic duo, if Tatum comes back, that is proven. The other Eastern Conference teams, not, but it's too many unknowns. Mm-hmm. We don't know what Carl Anthony Towns and Mike Brown relationship is going to look like. We don't trust James Harden just yet. Donovan Mitchell has never led a team to the conference finals. The Detroit Pistons still have inexperience. They only had one playoff run. So it's a lot of unknowns with those other teams. We know what the Celtics are capable of doing.
That's a lot of good points there from Ken. Kendrick Perkins, former NBA standout, and right now as it stands here today on this March the 3rd, the Boston Celtics are plus 900 to win the NBA Finals. That is the fourth best odds in the NBA. Other teams in action last night, Denver beats Utah 128-125 on the road. Jamal Murray with 45. Worth noting, the Nuggets have the second best odds at the NBA Finals at plus 600. And tonight in the NBA, Spurs and the Sixers, 7 o'clock on NBC. Thunder at the Bulls at 7. Grizzlies visit the T-Wolves in Minneapolis at 7 as well. And lastly, on NBC tonight at 10 p.m., it's the Suns and the Kings from Sacramento. Men's basketball final last night. Iowa State did not put up a tremendous fight against Arizona as the Wildcats blitzed their way by the Cyclones 73-57. The Wildcats improved to 28-2, 15-2 in conference. Cyclones marks respectively 24-6, 11-6 in Big 12 play. Last night on the men's side of the NSIC tournament, St. Cloud escapes with an 87-82 victory over Mankato, and Augie falls to Duluth 72-62. Tonight we'll see Title Tuesday on display for the men, 7 o'clock at St. Cloud in Duluth from inside the Pentagon. And tonight in men's basketball broadly, 9th-rated Nebraska visiting UCLA. That's a 10 o'clock go time on Fox Sports 1. Summit League bracket is set, and we'll get underway on the men's side on Wednesday night at 7. Oral Roberts, the 8th seed, meeting up with 9th-seeded Kansas City. On Thursday, SDSU facing off with St. Thomas in the 7-2 matchup, respectively. 8:30-ish start time Thursday night. And South Dakota is the 4th seed. They meet 5th-seeded Omaha. That will be a great game Friday evening at 6 o'clock. Women's basketball yesterday at the NSIC tourney. Mankato better than you, Mary. 80-56 the final there. And CSP earns a much needed, much desired rematch with Mankato. 81-65 winners against Duluth. So this afternoon, 4 o'clock start, Mankato and CSP. That's the go time for the title in the women's side of the NSIC tournament. Your Summit League bracket set there as well on the women's side. Omaha and UND in the 8-9 matchup Wednesday afternoon at 4:30. Thursday, SDSU meets UMKC at noon. That's the 2-7 matchup, and NDSU will play either Omaha or UND to follow that game Thursday afternoon. Friday, we'll see USD take on Denver. That's the 3-6 seed matchup, a projected start time of 2:30. Here is head coach Carrie Amy on what makes her team a dangerous one here in Sioux Falls this week.
You know, I think when we play our best basketball, it starts on the defensive end, and when we defend and rebound at a high level, you know, I think we can be difficult to score on, you know, but that's got to be there, you know. And then I think when we do that, it helps our offense, and you know, kind of what's worked for us this year is when we have lots of different players who can potentially get into that double digit, you know, scoring for us. So I think that, you know, that's going to be a key for us as well, is making sure that we've got a lot of different options, and you know, that we've got multiple people kind of working together to be able to score it with more than one or two people.
That's head coach Carrie Amy of USD. And again, USD will meet Denver, 3-6 seed matchup Friday afternoon, a projected start time of 2:30. NHL hockey last night. Detroit beats Nashville in Nashville 4-2. And Colorado also earns a road win against the LA Kings 4-2. The final. Avs are 40-10-9. Tonight in the National Hockey League, it'll be the Panthers and the Devils from New Jersey, 6 o'clock on TNT. Blackhawks at Jets at 7. Lightning at Wild, 8:30 on TNT. Avs at the Ducks, a 9 o'clock go time on ESPN+. Augustana Viking hockey home this weekend for the Mason Cup quarterfinals. They'll host Bemidji Friday at 7, Saturday at 6, Sunday at 5. Obviously, their conference opponents in the CCHA. They met 4 times last year in the regular season, and Bemidji ended the Viking season here in Sioux Falls in the quarterfinals last year. This year, been very competitive in 4 games, and we're ponying up again for a rematch. How's that rivalry looking in the early stages of this program in Sioux Falls for Augustana? Here is head coach Garrett Raboin on a budding rivalry with the Beavers.
Yeah, and I think that's it right there, and that's with the NSIC, it's a program, you know, through all sports we're familiar with, and we've had some really close games, and we're beginning to know them quite well. Seems like it's been forever since we've seen them. You know, we've played them 4 times this year, and they have the advantage on how that shook out. But again, we're seeing them in playoffs, the team that ended our season last year, and I hope our guys are motivated. They certainly should be. To see him one more time here.
And again, Augustana taking on Bemidji State Friday at 7, Saturday at 6, Sunday at 5 o'clock. If necessary, opportunities to score tickets to those games live on the show rest of the week here on ESPN Sioux Falls. NASCAR race this weekend will be at Phoenix Motor Speedway, 2:30 on Sunday on Fox Sports 1. And let's dive into the NFL talk here. Peter Schrager saying something out loud that might not make the Minnesota Viking fans out there feel all too good. Daniel Jones and the Colts are apparently not super close on a long-term contract extension. And Peter Schrager says the Vikings could come calling again for their one-time quarterback in Daniel Jones.
He's coming back, and the hope is that he'll be back ready for the start of the season. There's also another team that's lingering there, and as Shefty lines out, the transition tag means someone else can make an offer. The Colts just would have the last opportunity to match that offer. So who would think Daniel Jones? Now, at home, you might be like, well, the Jets need a quarterback, and the Cardinals might need a quarterback. I don't see that. The team I would watch as a possible long shot, but also one that could be angling here, the Minnesota Vikings. Remember, Daniel Jones spent half the season with the Minnesota Vikings a year ago. Not only did Sam Darnold leave that building, Daniel Jones left that building. I think the Vikings were surprised the Colts gave Daniel Jones the money that he got last offseason. Keep an eye on the Vikings if the transition tag is applied.
And we'll see what kind of tag, if any, is applied to Daniel Jones. I think the Colts would be very foolish to let him go, let him walk, not work on a long-term agreement. Just apply the franchise tag and work it out. You want him. He wants you. You gave him the chance to start and compete. He took it, ran with it, made you relevant again. You bought in, pushed your chips to the middle of the table with the Sauce Gardner deal. Don't get rid of Daniel Jones if you're the Indianapolis Colts. And certainly, they need to get the deal done, and the way to give yourself more time without costing you anything, just to slap the tag on and say, we're going to work on it, we'll figure it out, and work on it over the next weeks and months ahead of that June deadline for a concrete deal. Now, let's talk about another Minnesota Vikings potential quarterback of the future, Kyler Murray. Mike Greenberg talking about his play, his stats, and the prestige he has as he's set to enter the market, at least we think so, in the days ahead.
For people who wonder, well, what exactly is Kyler Murray? Kyler Murray has played 87 games. He has over 20,000 passing yards and over 3,000 rushing yards. The other quarterbacks in NFL history to do that are Josh Allen and Cam Newton.
That's good, right?
In their careers. Both of those guys are pretty good. There's one very obvious difference if you think about, and I don't mean this facetiously, if you think about Josh Allen and Cam Newton and what they have in common and makes them very different from Kyler Murray, that I think is really the question. Mark, is that a lot of people wonder about the size. At the end of the day, can you succeed in the NFL? I mean, I don't mean this jokingly. I think it needs to be brought up. A lot of people wonder. On some level, in the NFL, it obviously does.
It does matter for Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals and wherever he calls home for his next NFL team. But what's on Kyler Murray's side here is the proof being in the pudding of him being a functional quarterback. He was the Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2019. He's a two-time Pro Bowler. And as you heard there, 20,000 passing yards, 121 touchdown passes since joining the league in 2019. And he's been a pretty dynamic problem to deal with for defenses because of the escapability, the rushing ability, and of course, the intellectual ability for Kyler Murray, reading defenses, being a problem for those defenses. But it's worth noting here, as much as we want to criticize J.J. McCarthy for availability, Kyler Murray over the last four seasons has missed significant time in three of them. Missed a total of five games in 2022, missed a total of nine games in 2023. And this past season, he missed 12 football games. So while there's a lot to like here, and I firmly believe if Kyler Murray got a deal done to go to Minnesota, I would say, dang it, that makes them better. He is a better quarterback than J.J. McCarthy. And we could argue all day long about if McCarthy's at his best and if he's healthy, how close they'd be. But Kyler Murray does have a lot of star power. Not calling him an elite quarterback, but he certainly could inch closer to that. Top 12, top 10, top 8 by season's end. When you're throwing to dudes like J.J. McCarthy and Jordan Addison and maybe Ty Felton if he proves to be functional and T.J. Hockenson if he sticks around, Kyler Murray would be an asset to the Minnesota Vikings, and I think they would be wise to get exclusivity on Kyler Murray's services by trading something to the Cardinals to inherit that contract, which is not great. No doubt about it. It's a financial mess of a deal. But whenever there's a change of scenery, typically it comes with a new contract. Welcome to town. We love you. Can't wait to tie you up here for a long time. Let's work on your deal. We can't pay you $49, $50 million this year. We want to get you $40 million for the next 3 or 4 years. We want to make this a cap-friendly deal where we can escalate things out. We can provide some incentives. If you go to the Super Bowl, you get this much. If you go to the playoffs and earn a win, which are rare in Minnesota these days, you get more money as well. We'll see about Kyler Murray and the Vikings. But for me, that is some juice that I would squeeze if I were the Minnesota Vikings because simply it makes you a better team. Other news to get to quickly here before we dive into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. Chris Canty saying the Raiders absolutely should trade down from number one and pass up on Fernando Mendoza.
Look at what the Chicago Bears did.
They had the opportunity to take Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. They opted not to. They traded down with the Carolina Panthers. The following year, they had the number one pick via the Carolina Panthers and drafted Caleb Williams. Turned out to be a pretty good deal, right? It was a stronger class in 2024 than there was in 2023. That is what the scouts believe when it comes to the player evaluation. So if you're the Las Vegas Raiders, the answer to your question would be, yeah, the four first-round draft picks or three or four first-round draft picks that I would get in order to trade down, make it worth my while. And then, oh, by the way, I'm shorting the New York Jets, who are going to be starting a rookie quarterback. Pretty good place to be.
And again, Chris Canty, back-to-back days on the show, going to bat for the Raiders, moving off of the number one pick. Jets trading up. Interesting, bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see how it works out for them for the Las Vegas Raiders. Don't view that as overly likely. Let's quickly toe-dip into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. The Augustana men's basketball team saw their season come to a close last night, falling 72-62 to the NSIC North champion Minnesota Duluth in the NSIC semis at the Pentagon. With the loss, the Vikings season comes to a close, record of 19-10, the most wins in a season and first semifinal appearance since 2021-2022. Tam Ferguson had a team-high 14, Sam Wrench had 13, Caden Hinker 12 and 6 rebounds. Bulldogs ran out early to a 17-7 lead and didn't look back much at all. They stave off all sorts of momentum swings and runs in front of a pro Aggie crowd last night. But job well done. A nice season for the Augustana Vikings with a record of 19-10 comes to a close last night. And again, the Brooklyn Meyer Award is back. Meyer earning another Summit League Peak Performer of the Week honor, and that is career weekly award number 13 for Brooklyn Meyer. Became South Dakota State's D1 single season scoring leader, 662 points following a pair of wins at North Dakota State and home against South Dakota, closing out the regular season and securing the 2 seed at the Summit League tournament. That news available at gojacks.com. When we come back, our friend Thor Nystrom, a recap of the NFL Combine, Vikings talk, and so much more. Stick around. Overtime continues next, right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Streaming live online and with the app, this is Overtime with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Tuesday, March 3rd edition of Overtime. We might be firmly in the grasp of basketball season, but if you ask Thor Nystrom, it's always football season. One of the authorities on the NFL offseason, the NFL draft, prospects, and so much more is Thor Nystrom, who recently made the transition back home to Score North. Vikings and the NFL draft analyst with Score North joins us right now on the ESPN hotline. He was boots on the ground over the weekend at the NFL Combine. And last week, Thor, it's great to have you, my friend. How you been?
I've been great. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great as well, man. I'm a nerd like you when it comes to the NFL. The season is never over. There's always some tape to grind on, always some grades to give out and players to research. And I know, man, I love having you on the show because you give us a deep dive no matter what we're talking about. Wrap up the combine for us, man. How was your experience personally? And give us some names that really popped and stood out.
Yeah, it was awesome as always. You know, like, down there, it's the way I describe it, it's kind of like drinking out of a fire hose every year as far as the information. Mm-hmm. You know, like, people out there know, you know, the scouting combine is like, you know, when we get all this information on the prospects and the medicals and the interviews and the testing and all that stuff. And it is for that, for sure. But the NFL, they say that their legal tampering window begins, what, 6 days from now?
Yep.
By that time, the tampering window, it's already over. The tampering begins before the combine, but the combine is a celebration of tampering. That's all there is tampering there. You know, all the different teams meeting with each other and then meeting with the agents. And they're talking about the prospective free agents. They're talking about potential trade targets. They're talking about who's going to get cut, who they're willing to restructure or re-sign, or who they want to lower their base salary for next season. So all that information comes out there as well. And so you get into Indianapolis and it feels like it's just like fire hoses from all directions.
Mm-hmm. And certainly a lot of movers and shakers. I put it out this morning, ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Dallas Goedert reportedly definitely won't be back with the Philadelphia Eagles. That's a nice local element of the aforementioned tampering fiesta of the NFL Combine. What was your favorite day? What's your favorite position to watch and scout in person, Thor?
My favorite day is definitely Saturday of the NFL Combine, because that's the day every year, and it's very clever. The NFL is one of the best run businesses that we have. They certainly understand their audience. That's the day that they put on quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers to test. And so that's where we have all those great athletes and all these, you know, college football stars that we've gotten to know the last couple of years out there running and putting on a show. And that's where we get to see the quarterback throwing session. And so that's the one day of the combine where I will, some of the years, go into Lucas Oil Stadium. Some of the years I don't, but like that is the one day of testing where it can get me there. And just a very fun day. But yeah, it's, you know, and we had a bunch of winners this year. I mean, just speaking for the Dakotas in that day, you had two of them. Cole Payton, expected him to be a riser coming out of the combine. He definitely is. Showed out well. And then Trey Lance's brother, our boy. Like, it's so funny with Bryce down there. You know, it's like, you know, you see him, you know, when you're watching over the years and you're like, man, I'm not going to scout the helmet. I'm not going to do the Christian Watson comp. And there's no way that he's going to, you know, test is like a, you know, the exact same kind of an athlete as Christian Watson. And when Bryce Lance came out, his testing portfolio, it was literally identical to Christian Watson's. It was like Trey Lance's brother is literally a clone of Christian Watson. So a huge riser there for Bryce Lance, answering all the questions about athleticism.
And certainly a lot of questions to be asked in the remainder of the cycle ahead of the NFL draft. It'll be in Pittsburgh at the end of April. Thor, every draft is so darn different. You know that better than anybody. But last year we talked about the strength of running back. What's one position this year that is the most deep or best optionality for teams? Is this a offensive line class, a pass rusher class, or something else? What do you think?
This is a non-sexy position draft. Mm-hmm. The best position group, in my opinion, is off-ball linebacker. And in my time doing this, I cannot recall one year where I was like, off-ball linebacker is the best position in the draft. But this one, we have the awesome guys at the top. Sonny Styles, speaking of guys that put on a show at the Combine, his was historic. His teammate, Arvell Reese, has a real shot to go ahead of him in the draft. But I think both those guys might be favorite outcomes at this point to both go in the top five. But then, you know, the depth of the class is just so good. You know, Jake Galladay, Jacob Rodriguez tested awesome there to quell any questions about his evaluation. CJ Allen and Anthony Hill both came into this year as first round players, and they both had good seasons. But just because of how good this class is, I think both those guys could get shoved to round two. Kyle Lewis is a favorite of a lot of people. He's like this hybrid, like, drone of a linebacker that's like half safety, half linebacker. You know, so they're, you know, the coverage utility that he gives you, it's just so good. But, you know, you could go on and on with the outball linebacker class. So that one I would toss out. I would also toss out safety. It's a very, very good safety class. Those would be two. The cornerback class is decent as well. And then one other sleeper one that I would toss out that people don't is, I think this center class is way better than people realize, because just on the surface of true centers, I think it's at least analogous to past classes. You know, your Connor Lewis, your Jake Slaughter, Logan Jones, Sam Heck, Pat Coogan, you know, that kind of group. It's a solid group on its own. But when you start tossing in the position converts, that's when the center class starts to get really good. So, for instance, we know that Brian Parker II, who is a collegiate tackle at Duke, that he is kicking inside the center at the next level. He came out of high school as a center. It's just that at Duke, they play their best offensive lineman at tackle. So that's, you know, that's where he was the last couple of years. Trey Zun from Texas A&M, we think he'll kick inside to center at the next level. The kid from Keelon Rutledge from Georgia Tech was a fabulous guard and tested super athletic, but was a great guard at Georgia Tech. He's been practicing as a center all process. Even Jennings Dunker has been practicing as a center all process, trying to prove that. So if you add in all those names into the center class, it starts to get really good and it starts to get really deep.
And again, Jennings Dunker is the aforementioned luscious mullet, red-haired phenom out of the Iowa Hawkeye program. Got to watch, and certainly for my sake, a future Green Bay Packer. Thor, let's talk about draft weaknesses. Quarterback comes to mind as a class that's top-heavy, with Mendoza very likely to go number one. Ty Simpson, maybe a first-round guy. Quarterback, obvious. What's another position that might be a little weaker this year than in years past?
running back would be the first one that would just jump out there. Running back and offensive tackle, but running back, you know, in comparison to last year where it was just so stacked. And it's like, even if you throw a round seven dart throw, like that's a guy that maybe the year before would have been a fifth round pick. Now we're back to having the crappy running back class. You have the gem, yes, in Jeremiah Love. And yes, he's absolutely a blue chip talent, but a big drop off after that. And then not only that, this thing dries up really quick. I do think there's some interesting, you know, whether day two, middle round kind of guys. Mike Washington, of course, got to shout him out. Jadarian Price, I'm interested in him, but he's going to go round two. Jonah Coleman could be a value because he might fall to round three. I think he'd be a good value there. But once you get past, let's say, the Penn State kids and Nicholas Singleton, who was coming off of an injury, and then Katron Allen, who lacks top speed, the class really just falls off a shelf. This is not the year of like, oh, hey, we just need a third guy in a running back room. Yeah. Like, we'll just use a sixth round pick on a running back. Save your time. Just sign a veteran to a minimum contract and use that pick on something else. Go back to running back next year. This is a bad class.
Certainly a lot to break down in the NFL draft, which approaches at the end of April. The run dates there, the 23rd through the 25th in Pittsburgh this year. One of the authorities, our favorite authority on the line right now, Thor Nystrom, covering the Vikings in the NFL draft with Score North. You can find him on Twitter at ThorKU, as in Kansas University, also at Score North on Twitter. Thor, lastly, my friend, the floor is yours as long as you want to go on the Minnesota Vikings, J.J. McCarthy, quarterback plans, what you would like to happen, and maybe you want to throw it in some fits at pick 18 in the draft coming up later on next month.
Yeah, what I'm hearing is that it's going to be, I think that the grouping that I've sort of settled on that I've heard the most, I think it's Kirk Cousins, Geno Smith, Kyler Murray. The Vikings, they want a guy that has, it's a very narrow kind of thread that, or needle that they're trying to thread, which is they want a guy that fits these three designations, that he's playable if he has to play, that he'll move the offense, number one. Number two, that he doesn't need to be promised the starting job to sign. And then number three, he will sign cheaply. And so to find a guy that fits all three of those things, it's a very small bucket. And those three guys that I just mentioned, the team is, you know, obviously as they sort of go through all the options, those are three guys that potentially fit all three of those designations. So they've come up quite a bit. That's what I would expect. I do expect it to be a competition. I think where I disagree with that, there's been, you know, of course, the various, you know, media reports coming from both sides of it. But what I heard down in Indianapolis is they would like McCarthy to win the job next year. But what they're not going to do is the unforced error that they did to themselves last year, where you signed your backup quarterback, a street free agent QB2, to the league minimum 5-6 days before opening day. You can't do that. And you can't do that again, right? Like McCarthy got injured in his second game as a guy who was coming off a season ending injury the year before. Then he gets the high ankle sprain, and all of a sudden your street free agent guy is, he's got to save the season, and he didn't, right? And so McCarthy ends up going 6-4, but in the other seven games, they go 3-4, and they finish 9-8.5 of a game out of the playoffs. They're not going to do that again. And they're not just going to hand McCarthy the job. But I think, you know, one of those three guys, you have a camp competition. Whoever is the better guy, you end up playing him. That's what I expect that to be. And then as far as the 18th pick, I think the heavy front runner in the clubhouse would be interior defensive line. I think a name to circle there is Caleb Banks from Florida. I think he is well within play. The secondary is the one behind that, you know, be that safety or be that cornerback. Dylan Dieneman from Oregon, the way that he tested last week, he is absolutely in play for that 18th pick as well. So that's someone to keep an eye on as well. And then boundary cornerback, you know, you might be thinking Avion Terrell there potentially in the first round. I don't know the team's feelings on Jermaine McCoy or Colton Hood, the two kids from Tennessee. They could potentially be in play there as well, but that would be kind of the small group that I would be looking at.
And certainly all the info you need, the deepest dive you'll find is that of Thor Nystrom at ThorKU on Twitter, Score North on Twitter as well. Thor, you're the best, my friend. We'll catch you sometime next month, I hope. Appreciate the time as always.
Thanks so much, guys. Looking forward to it.
Thor Nystrom, again, a NFL draft and Vikings authority on the show with us here on a Tuesday, March 3rd. The draft is a month and a half away, but you never can be too prepared. And that's all the names you need to know for now for the Vikings. And there you have it, at the quarterback situation, Minnesota, in the eyes of Thor Nystrom, would like J.J. McCarthy to win the job, but they would like for it to be a battle and raise the floor of quarterback play. You can't bring in somebody 6 days before the season and say, you're our primary backup. Congratulations. And then McCarthy goes down after game number two. Not a great situation for Minnesota. By the way, we do have some breaking news centered around those Minnesota Vikings, and it might be an avert your ears kind of story because we get the narrative about this being a win now roster. Vikings are ready to rumble. They got premier talent at this position. In that position, pass rush has been a strength. Dallas Turner, Van Ginkle, and Jonathan Grenard. But here we go. Hold your horses. Adam Schefter about a half hour ago noting that the Minnesota Vikings are open to trading Pro Bowl edge rusher Jonathan Grenard. They would like to keep him, but they also have salary cap issues they're working through. Thor noting on that the asking price should be around a second-round pick coming up late April. That's the latest in Vikings territory. We'll take a break, come back, rankings roundup on a Tuesday, and, of course, don't miss it, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the sports world. That's coming up next on a Tuesday, March 3rd edition of Overtime.
ESPN Sioux Falls gets you back to more of Overtime with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you to wrap up this Tuesday edition of Overtime. It is March the 3rd. It is Title Tuesday in the NSIC, in the NSIC tournament. At the end of the show, an opportunity to score tickets on me. I got 6 tickets left here, and you could score a pair or a 4-pack, depending on callers at the end of the show. 605-362-3776 is that number to dial. Rankings roundup and the good, the bad, and the ugly on the way here. We'll start the rankings by talking a little collegiate hockey, where the Augustana Vikings are ranked number 14 in the country this week. That is in the NPI rankings, the USCHO.com rankings that we've referenced before on the program. Augustana at number 15, as those rankings released a couple days ago, running games through March the 1st here in 2026. Other rankings to dive into, we're going to start in women's basketball, where UConn is, in my opinion, by far the best team in the country. The Huskies are 31-0, and they retain that top spot as a unanimous number one. They're followed in the rankings by UCLA, South Carolina, Texas, and Vanderbilt. Rounding out the top 10 in women's hoops, LSU, Oklahoma, Michigan, Iowa, and TCU. And then other teams in the rankings on the women's side, Minnesota, Gopher women's basketball, number 19. Worth referencing here. Going to work on a story here later on this week, maybe next week, about the job that Coach Plitzewhite has done there in Minneapolis. Just how good has it been for Minnesota Gopher women's basketball? This right now in 2026 is one of the best seasons ever in the history of the program. That's right. According to the well-established Wikipedia, you just look at wins and losses, season records. This is among the best seasons they have ever had for Gopher women's basketball, and it's only year number two under Coach Don Plitzewicz. Now let's dive into other teams in those rankings. Iowa State is in that others receiving votes category, but they got a long way to go. Unlikely to be in the top 25 by season's end, but Iowa State right now in the others receiving votes category here on the women's side. On the men's side of basketball, it's Duke at number one, 27-2, followed by Arizona. Those two programs splitting the first place votes. Duke with 55, Zona with 4. Rounding out the top 5, Michigan, UConn, and Florida. Iowa State at number 6, although they suffered a loss last night. Houston number 7, Michigan State at 8, Nebraska 9, and Texas Tech at number 10. Other teams in the poll from our neck of the woods, Illinois at 11, Kansas at 14, Miami of Ohio number 19 with a record of 29-0 right now. And then other teams in the rankings. I don't know if St. Louis is an area team or not, but I like the Billiken mascot. For me, they're an area team. They're at number 25, Wisconsin, in the others receiving votes category, joined by many other teams, including High Point, which got in on the men's and women's side to the bracket just last season. Worth monitoring there. South Dakota prep polls are here, and it is the final set of rankings for the season for the girls and boys across the state of South Dakota. In AA boys basketball, Lincoln remains undefeated, a perfect 20-0 on the season. They're number one, unanimous number one on the boys' side. The rest of it, though, is wide open. You got Huron at number two, Roosevelt three, Harrisburg four, and Watertown number five in receiving votes. T, Washington, BV, and O'Gorman. All four of those programs have some pretty darn good wins this year. That's AA ball. Single A, it's West Central number one, Sioux Falls Christian second, Clark Willow Lake third, Hamlin and Lennox rounding out the top five. And Class B for the boys, Castlewood number one, followed by DeSmit and Freeman in the top three, Viberg Hurley number four, and Wessington Springs number five. Only AA rankings for the girls to break down this week. Again, final poll of the season. Brandon Valley undefeated, number one at 20-0. O'Gorman did peel off one first place vote as OG, 19-1 and second in the poll. Rapid City Stevens number three, Washington number four, and Aberdeen Central rounding out the poll at number five. Worth noting in that receiving votes category, Jefferson, Mitchell, Spearfish, and T in that order. And let's break down, because we do have these this week for the first time in this cycle. We got the SODAC 16 brackets to break down. We'll start on the girls' side, where Brandon Valley predictably is your number one seed. They will see Sturgis Brown, the 16 seed, for an opportunity to advance to the state tournament. Your two seed is O'Gorman. They drew a matchup with Peer, as TF Riggs just 5-15 on the season. On that same side of the bracket, T and Harrisburg collide, Mitchell and Spearfish in that SODAC 16 matchup. And then over on the other side of the bracket, the three seed is Washington. They've got Roosevelt in their first round game in the SODAC 16. The four seed is Rapid City Stevens. They have Yankton in their respective matchup. Aberdeen Central meets Rapid City Central, and Jefferson has drawn a matchup with Huron on that side. The full bracket's available at ESPNSiouxFalls.com or GoBound.com/SD. On the boys' side, Lincoln meets Sturgis Brown in the boys tournament as well. And then you also get the 8-9 matchup, Spearfish and T. On that same side, the two seed is Roosevelt. They've got Rapid City Central, and the seven seed is Brandon Valley. They match up with Jefferson. That is one heck of a game to open up the SODAC 16. That's a 2 o'clock Central start time on Saturday. Worth noting as well, the girls' games for the SODAC 16 will be Friday afternoon and evening, and the boys' games will be Saturday afternoon and evening. Other side of the boys bracket, your three seed is Huron. They got all sorts of size, and they've been a pretty darn good team this year. They've got Peer in the SODAC 16 round. The four seed is Harrisburg, and they're going to play host to Yankton Saturday at 2 o'clock. Watertown and Mitchell, another matchup. O'Gorman and Washington. And say what you will about Washington's record, they're 10-10. That team can play with anybody this year. The athleticism, the length that they have coming off the bench, Washington, pretty darn solid. They're the 11. They've got O'Gorman, one of those teams that also has played with and beaten a lot of good teams this year for OG. They're 12-8. That's going to be a great matchup at O'Gorman High School coming up Saturday, a 4 o'clock Central start time. Latest brackets, info, and state tournament information, GoBound.com or SDHSAA.com. Time now to wrap up the show. A lot of good news to get to in today's edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Many days there are those who can be called a problem child. You know the ones. They have a tendency to display an ugly side. They have their whiny moments. Some display an outright bad side of themselves. And then there are those who stand out in a good way. Well, here they are, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
In every town, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. If your job's landed in the wrong category these days, Journey Group is hiring for a range of construction roles. Good pay, good benefits, and good people. The good, the bad, and the ugly, brought to you by Journey Group. Let's dive into the good news first. This is a very inspiring story coming out of the NFL Combine. Former Texas A&M wide receiver KC Concepcion has a stutter. More than 3 million Americans do. According to Pro Football Talk and NBCSports.com, it didn't stop him from fully participating in the aspects of the scouting combine that rely on verbal communication, including a press conference and interviews with many, many outlets. Concepcion later addressed his stutter on social media, saying, "I just want to say something. If you have a speech impediment, there is nothing wrong with us. I've had this stutter since I can remember talking. This is part of me. This is who I am. I cannot control this. I want to be a role model for those who may be scared to speak up or who may be afraid and not confident in yourself. I stand with you. This weekend has taught me a lot about myself and people out here in this world. I appreciate everyone who supports me and has reached out to me after these interviews. Don't let an outside person's thoughts, opinions get in the way of you being great and you achieving something in your life." How about that from KC Concepcion? Hard not to feel incredibly fired up about that statement. Go to bat for it and say, what a tremendous young man. Able to persevere through that, was up at the podium taking questions and dealing with this stutter that he's dealt with since he can remember. Job well done to that young man. And by the way, also is a hell of a football player for Texas A&M. Very excited to see and follow along with where his career goes. Other news to get to, good news. The Denver Nuggets are loading up. Free agent guard Tyus Jones agreed to sign with Denver as of yesterday. The 29-year-old serves as a veteran point guard to fill a need for the Nuggets' backcourt down the stretch of the season and is eligible for the playoffs. Jones started the season with the Magic after signing a one-year deal last summer, was traded to the Hornets, then moved to the Mavericks at the trade deadline before being let go of on Saturday. And the Nuggets act quickly to bring in Tyus Jones. Good news there. The Royals have signed two-time All-Star Starling Marte as of yesterday to a $1 million deal for the upcoming year. The Royals designated outfielder Deron Blanco for assignment in a corresponding roster move. The 37-year-old Marte, who can earn up to $2 million in roster and performance bonuses this year, has hit .285 with 163 dingers and 361 stolen bases over 14 years in the bigs. The Edmonton Oilers yesterday made a trade with the Chicago Blackhawks, acquiring defenseman Connor Murphy in exchange for a second round pick, not next year, not the year after that, but in 2028. As part of the deal, the Blackhawks will retain 50% of Murphy's salary as Chicago continues their long, rocky, rumbly, nasty rebuild in the post-Pat Kane, Jonathan Taves era, into the era of Connor Bedard and others. The Chicago Blackhawks are not great this year and are selling off assets, including Connor Murphy, as of yesterday. Now for the bad and the ugly. We'll start with the bad news for the Minnesota Vikings fans. We told you moments ago this news is not likely to result in a release, but it is worth noting, according to ESPN.com, Schefter had it first, that the Vikings are open to trading outside linebacker Jonathan Greenard as they work through a salary cap deficit that could have a wide-ranging impact on the roster. Greenard is still young, still good, and still very dynamic. The 28-year-old is one of the team's top defensive players. I'd argue he's one of the team's top players. And has 2 years remaining on the four-year deal he signed back in 2024. Vikings entered this month roughly $43 million over the NFL's salary cap. They want to keep him, according to Adam Schefter, but their work to eliminate that cap deficit has led to trade discussions. That's bad news for the Minnesota Vikings. Now, ugly news for the Atlanta Braves. Atlanta Braves DH Yurickson Profar is facing a whole season suspension after testing positive for PEDs for the second time in the past year. Sources told ESPN Today the 33-year-old is the sixth player to receive a full season ban for PED use since Major League Baseball increased the penalty for two-time offenders to a full season back in 2014. The loss of Profar is a significant blow to the Braves, who already lost starting pitchers Spencer Schwellenbach and Hurston Waldrep to elbow injuries as they try to rebound from a disappointing campaign last year in which they finished 76 and 86. That's the good, the bad, the ugly, brought to you by Journey Group, and that is our show on a Tuesday. Throughout this week, we'll give you opportunities to win, but I got an opportunity right now as we say so long. I have 6 tickets remaining, 2-pack, 4-pack, you tell me, to the NSIC Title Tuesday games. Women are up at 4 o'clock. The men will follow at 7 o'clock this evening at the Sanford Pentagon. You could be out and about for the action. Dial me up right now as we say so long. 605-362-3776. Again, the matchups tonight on the women's side. Mankato, CSP at 4 o'clock. Men's side, St. Cloud and Duluth at 7. You want to go? I got tickets in my hand right now. 605-362-3776. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll be right back.